What is up, everybody? I am Raymond Summerlin. This is the Sharp Angles Podcast, the Sunday recap edition of the Sharp Angles Podcast. And what that means is that we are here to recap week 13, a wild week 13, unfortunately a week 13 filled with injuries. And the only people I would like to recap that with are who I'm joined by every week. I say every week, except when Curtis leaves us to go to Mexico and be all high and mighty down there. And that is Curtis Hirsch and Tucker Bagley. We're going to go straight to Tucker because this might end up being something of a therapy session. You know, we've had several weeks in a row now where we've been waiting on the results of a close Eagles game in the podcast. Not a worry this week, Tucker. Not something we were worried about this week, was it?
No, and I guess be careful what you wish for, right? Because last week we joked about how we wouldn't want a situation like we had last week and the week before and, you know, the Jets game and the Patriots game. And yeah, this week, I think at like 7 o'clock, I was watching it with, you know, my girlfriend and I said, well, at least I don't have to watch the fourth quarter during the podcast. Like, we can just move on and forget it. But I mean, this is something we talked about a couple weeks ago. I think the 49ers went healthy with Trent Williams and all of their offense healthy. They're the best team in football. And I don't think the Eagles defense is really that great. They rank in the bottom 10 of a lot of categories. They've gotten away with a lot of mistakes. They have some injuries now. But I mean, I think what we saw today from the 49ers is as much about how great they are as it is, you know, how many holes the Eagles have. I look at that offense. They scored touchdowns on 6 straight drives after their, you know, slow start. I don't know if there's a defense in the NFL that can stop them. If they're healthy, if everything's firing on all cylinders, I mean, when we wake up tomorrow, they're going to be the overwhelming favorite, not only to win the NFC, but I imagine they're going to overtake the Chiefs as Super Bowl betting favorites too.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. What this 49ers offense has been doing since the bye week. They shredded the Jaguars, they shredded the Seahawks, and now they've shredded the Eagles. And you mentioned it, they started slow in this game. The Eagles might have given up an opportunity to take a little bit more control in this game with, you know, their 2 field goals early. But after that, I mean, it wasn't a contest. This offense, this 49ers offense, moved up and down the field at will. And we have from producer Matt here that the 49ers current Super Bowl odds are +330, Philadelphia down to +550, and KC at +423. Kansas City obviously playing on Sunday night. That's after we record this. If you're not with us live, we record this live every single Sunday at 7:30 Eastern time over on our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Sharp Football. You can find us, subscribe. You'll get notifications when we go live, all that. And I don't want to bring up old wounds here, Curtis, but you've been in Tucker's shoes before with this 49ers team and what they've done to your Dallas Cowboys. And so now, yeah, they've done this to the Cowboys. They've done this to the Eagles. They've done it to a lot of other teams. It's getting hard to move away from them just being, as we stand right now, when they are healthy, the best team in football.
Yeah, I think we have breaking news. We're going to put the 49ers at the top of your power rankings that release on Tuesday morning. I think that's a given.
I had been wanting to do it. You know, it was one of those things where I couldn't move them. They lost 3 games in a row. I couldn't move them ahead of the Eagles. But at what we've seen of the bye week, I was like, this is going to be somewhere we go. And now, yeah.
I'm excited to see where we go with number 2. The Eagles have been outgained in numerous games in a row. They're just really buttoned up organization that knows how to win football games. So I'm very curious to see where you go with number 2, because I think we have number 1, and when the 49ers are healthy, they're better than absolutely everyone in this league right now. But they're one injury away from a couple of losses. We saw what happened when they're missing Williams and Debo. But when healthy, they're clearly the best team. Their quarterback is able to maneuver around with the weapons that he has when they're all healthy. And they just are playing so well. And the defense, when not blitzing every single drop back, seems to not give up the big plays as well. So, yeah, this again is how good are the 49ers? They're really good.
Yeah, and I do want to, you know, I'm not throwing cold water. Obviously, they are very, very good. But this offense, I think that injury kind of storyline with the 49ers, while true, it was true they were missing some players during that losing streak, it overlooks the fact that offense was still very good for most of that. For the final 2 games of that 3-game losing streak, that offense was still very good. Brock Purdy was still averaging some absurd number of yards per throw, and the offense was working. They weren't they lost those games because they were turning the ball over and they were in kind of bad situations. And so that still exists for this team. And so that is still something that could come up in a single game. And so that's, you know, that is playoff football. That is the way it works. But yeah, I think that when they're healthy, even when maybe they're missing one person, I still think this offense is, if Deebo Samuel goes out again, or if Brandon Ayuk goes out again, I'm not going to like freak out, because that's where the three game losing streak happened when they were missing some people, because their offense was still really good. They just kind of turned the ball over. And so I don't think that this is as much a difference from what we saw before the bye week. What I will say is the defense. I feel a lot better about the defense now. Obviously they added some pass rushing help, but I mean, what we've seen from Tre'Davious Ward lately, that secondary, I think we're feeling a lot better with this defense. Tucker, you brought up the Eagles defense, and I want to mention some numbers there with them. Coming into this game, the 5 weeks prior to this game, the Eagles were 24th in yards per play allowed and 27th in points per drive allowed. And the 5 weeks prior to this game, this game obviously didn't help it. They gave up over 8 yards per play to the 49ers. This defense has been a concern for the Eagles all year. It hasn't mattered. They've kept winning. But I mean, this is a giant banner saying, okay, it's time to be very worried about this defense, right, Tucker?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I actually thought about it this week, you know, what's their signature performance? And they played well against Miami on that Sunday night game. They held Kansas City to 17 points 2 weeks ago. But I mean, for the most part, their front four is still getting home. They're still ranked pretty high in pressures and sacks, but their linebacking core is an issue right now with Zach Cunningham and N'Kobe Dean both hurt. And their secondary, I mean, they doubled down this offseason. They cut Darius Slay for like 48 hours and then brought him back. They re-signed James Bradbury and brought him back into the fold. And they bet pretty big on two cornerbacks who are over the age of 30, who might, for most teams, be showing signs of slowing down. And so far through the season, those two bets look terrible. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was all over Darius Slay today. James Bradbury has been a huge disappointment for most of the season after being one of the best cornerbacks in football a year ago. And now you kind of look at this team, and maybe there are some excuses because they played, you know, 95 snaps against the Bills, you know, last week, and they've played the Cowboys and the Chiefs and the Bills, now the 49ers. They just might be flat out exhausted after running through this gauntlet, but now you get the Cowboys again coming off some extra rest, so it doesn't stop. And yeah, I think if you look at this Eagles team and the way they're built, and you want to, you know, point out their flaws and say this is what's going to keep them from playing in February, it's their defense, right? Because if you're going to progress through the NFC in the postseason, you're going to have to go through San Francisco, you're going to have to go through Dallas, you might have to go through Detroit as well. And right now, the way their defense is playing, it's not good enough to compete with any of those units.
Yeah, and I mean, we also know that they've been winning, you know, they've been winning games of inches recently. I mean, that their defensive numbers could look worse if, you know, if Jake Ferguson, I believe it was Jake Ferguson that was tackled at the half inch line, right? Or if Dak Prescott doesn't step out, like those numbers could look worse. And so, yeah, we're sitting here in a very kind of precarious spot for this Eagles team. It is funny that we're like writing their eulogy though, and they're what, they're 10-2? Like that's where we
still
are.
Still the best record in the NFL.
Yeah, they're still the number one seed in the NFC. So, yeah, we're fine. They do have another big game against the Cowboys next week. But then the schedule certainly gets a lot easier from there. We need to move in and talk a little bit about the AFC playoff race, which is suddenly fascinating. It has always been fascinating, but it's gotten even more interesting this week. Before we do that, though, I want to remind you, you can get access to all of our fantasy content. You get access to all of our betting content. By the way, our betting stuff today destroyed. We've been having a great, great last month and a half, and we continued that going today. You can get access to Warren Sharp's recommendations, props, sides, totals, all of that. You can get all of that at sharpfootballanalysis.com. And if you use the promo code ANGLES, you will get 15% off any fantasy package or any betting package or anything we have, you know, for sale over at the site. So go and check that out. Use promo code ANGLES for 15% off. I do have to mention before we move on to the AFC, Mike Hoff, who was not just content bragging in the Slack channel, had to bring it here into the comment section of 4219. Woohoo. We had to keep it going. This is interesting. We do have a wonderful little triumvirate of NFC fans in our writers room here with the three of you. That'll be fun to come January, come playoff time. All right, let's get into the AFC playoffs. Well, yeah, we need a Lions fan. I guess I'm an agnostic. I grew up an Oilers fan, and then they moved, and I've just kind of been agnostic ever since. And so maybe I can take, I can adopt the Lions. I can eat some kneecaps, and we'll adopt the Lions, and so I'm officially a lifelong Lions fan moving forward. So I can't wait for those arguments to show up. So in the AFC, we had a really interesting day. We now have a situation in which the Steelers, Colts, Texans, and Browns. That game has gone final now, has it? So that game, it's not final yet, but that game is basically done. So the Steelers, Colts, Texans, and Browns sit at 7-5. The Broncos and Bills are at 6-6. It's going to be a wild run in for some of these playoff spots. The Texans, we should start with them. They held on against the Broncos. One of the things, I guess maybe the biggest story to come out of this, Tucker, is that the Texans did lose Tank Dell in this game, fractured fibula. I mean, I don't know how much injury takeaway there is here for you. I mean, I guess he's out for the season, right? That's where we are.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reading in between the lines or trying to figure out, like, his leg is broken. He's not going to return this season. Like, that pretty much is it, and it stinks because Tank Dell over the last 4 or 5 weeks has been unbelievable. He's someone that we were excited about coming into the season. He's really blossomed. Him and CJ Stroud have had a great connection the last month or so, and him going down. I mean, Nico Collins had a big game today with him out. But for a Houston team that offensively was really exciting to watch, you know, them losing their biggest weapon is certainly a huge gut punch.
Yeah, and I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, Nico Collins is rostered everywhere, so that's not a waiver wire situation. In DFS, you're going to be a lot more excited to play him. Are you interested in like Noah Brown or Robert Woods, or are you going to get John Mechie, more John Mechie, Curtis? Any of those names really stick out to you as kind of waiver wire names to know?
Yeah, that's a good question. Noah Brown is owned in a lot of leagues because he was on a heater as well before he got injured, and maybe Brevin Jordan. We'll see what happens with Dalton Schultz moving forward. Yeah. But they do play the Titans twice in the fantasy playoffs, so that is a wide receiver kind of hotbed. So Nico Collins, and whether it be Robert Woods or Noah Brown, Mechie still, he looks like he's struggling a bit out there. I know they like him there in Houston, but I'm ranking the two, Noah Brown or Woods, over him.
So we have Mechie ended up with 3 targets, caught 1. Noah Brown had 2 targets, didn't catch any. He actually had a bad drop in that game. Yeah, you mentioned it, Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan was the other one, other than Nico Collins, that got involved, and we'll have to see what happens with Dalton Schultz. I think my biggest takeaway here from this game is I don't like that the Texans once again let themselves get dragged down into a rock fight with the team. Like the Broncos, even though the Broncos lost this game, and Russell Wilson threw 3 interceptions, including one at the end on 3rd and goal that, you know, if they're able to get a touchdown there, they probably win the game. He throws an interception, the Broncos lose, they fall to 6-6. But they're in this situation because the Texans, just like they did with the Panthers, they kind of let this team drag them down. They ran the football more than they probably should have. They ran the football 30 times. CJ Stroud only attempted 27 passes. He was sacked 5 times, but even if you include those sacks, they averaged around 8 yards per dropback, which is a really, really good number. It didn't cost them this time, but Tucker, I'm a little bit worried that they keep allowing themselves this to happen and not just letting CJ Stroud do what he should be doing. They let Damon Pierce come back and take over Devin Singletary, even though we've seen time and again, we saw it this year, this week, he's not being as efficient as Devin Singletary. There's some odd coaching decisions happening here, Tucker, and it worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it felt weird. Like all the things that they were doing that was working kind of just happened by accident, right? Like Damian Pierce got hurt. They had to go to Devin Singletary. They were falling behind some games, so CJ Stroud had to lift them. And then this week, with everyone kind of back together, and maybe once Tank Dell got out, they went to what their preseason game plan was, which didn't really work at all. And as a result, they kind of, I don't say they were humbled, they still won the game, but yeah, offensively letting Damian Pierce get 15 carries for 41 yards when Devin Singletary has been on the heater that he's been on the last 4 or 5 weeks, just felt weird. Like it just, I almost want to just chalk it up as growing pains. Like you have a rookie head coach, you have a rookie quarterback, you have a team that's young and doesn't have a lot of experience really across the board, you know, coordinators included. It just felt like a weird situation for them this week where it's frustrating because we know what this team can be. And you get the feeling that they were kind of held down to what they were based on their own volition and not their opponent.
Yeah. And like I said, it's now we have two examples of this and it's just, it's a little bit concerning. It's a little bit concerning to me. As for the Broncos, Curtis, I don't know what to say about the Broncos. The Broncos played this game exactly the way they wanted to. Russell threw three interceptions, two in the fourth quarter, and they didn't win late, but they had the opportunity to win late. I can't imagine their approach to life is going to change because they lost this game.
No, but how cool would that playoff race be if they were 6-6? It would have moved everyone else to 6-6, right? The Texans would have went down. It would have been just
the Texans. Yeah, so if the Broncos would have won, then no, the Broncos would have been 7-5. So they'd have just flipped with the Texans.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah, the one concerning part I have with Houston is how ultra conservative they are. I know they kicked on 4th-and-1, and you get this defensive head coach, and there's just so much. Just trust your guys. Like CJ Stroud is a weapon. Use him and just trust your guys. So that's my concern there. And yeah. Sean Payton knows exactly what he has. He's a veteran head coach and he put them in a position to win despite Russ throwing three interceptions. He put them in a position to win despite the two interceptions. They couldn't overcome the third, but yeah, they were right there. And four chances from the 3-yard line, they get that in 90% of the time and win that game. This was one of the games they ended up on the bad side of variance, but yet again, they're in these games, which is pretty crazy from where they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wild to see kind of where they've come. Another team in this race is the Colts. The Colts had to take it to overtime against the Titans, but they ended up winning against the Titans in overtime. I guess the first thing to talk about here is the injury to Derrick Henry. It looked like a concussion. Tucker, have we gotten any word on that since he left?
I haven't seen any update on that. And usually if it is a concussion, we don't hear until like Monday or so that he's in concussion protocol. But on the way everything happened and how it went down, I have to imagine that we're going to find out that he is in concussion protocol. So his status for next week will be in jeopardy, basically, depending on how he gets through concussion protocol this week. But I will say a lot of guys have been getting through concussion protocol in a single week lately. Something that I think at the beginning of the season, we talked about a few times about how if you got a concussion, it was at least you were out the next game. Hasn't been happening as much lately. A lot of guys are coming back. Chris Olave, one of them, who got a concussion last week and came back no problem today. So I wouldn't rule Derrick Henry out for next week the way I would have maybe earlier in the season.
Yeah, they also play on Monday night next week against the Dolphins.
So that really helps,
too. I believe that's correct. Yeah, that helps too. So we might not, I mean, we'll see what happens with Derrick Henry. I mean, I don't think from a Derrick Henry injury perspective, there's not a ton of waiver wire analysis to be done. If Derrick Henry misses, you are all in on Tajay Spears, right, Curtis?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think Olave was a different situation. It's an arbitrary kind of protocol. It's how is the player feeling? So The Titans are 4-8. Does Derrick Henry really want to rush back and play this game? Chris Olave was in the middle of a playoff race. He made it through. Kenny Pickett was the other guy who made it through on a, I might have even been up from a Monday night game to a Sunday night game. He wasn't giving up his starter's role. He was made it through. So I think it's an arbitrary kind of system. And what rush is Derrick Henry in coming back? He's only got a couple years left and we'll see. But yeah, Tajay Spears looks so good when he has the ball. So if we could just get one game of him with all the touches, I'd be super excited.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'd be Zach Moss DFS chalk, which by the way, that worked out great for everybody. So I'm super excited about that. But it would be pretty heavy DFS chalk if we're getting a Spears in a showdown lineup or a showdown situation next week. I mean the Colts, they're sixth now in the playoffs. They're still the number six seed at 7-5, tied with, you know, the teams we're talking about, the Steelers, tied with the Browns, tied with the Texans. This defense is bad. It is so bad, but it might not matter because they have the Bengals, Steelers, Falcons, and Raiders over the next 4 weeks before they get the Texans in week 18. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of football left to play, but that week 18 Texas game could end up being huge. And that, who would have thought that the week 18 game between the Texans and the Colts before the season could be a playoff decider, but that might be where we're headed at this point. So it'll be interesting to see. I also have to just, I have to mention Michael Pittman has been on a tear, an absolute wide receiver one tear over the recent weeks. I mean, he's had some good matchups, but he's playing great. And that offense is certainly working. As those Steelers, I mentioned the Steelers, they lost Kenny Pickett. We talked a little bit about that. They were embarrassed by the Cardinals in a very odd game. They had a ton of weather delays in this game. It was a very odd game. First on Pickett, I guess, Tucker, kind of what did we see there with the injury? He was kind of trying to dive for the end zone. Seems like he might have aggravated an ankle injury he already had. What are we looking at there with Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, I thought it was a head injury the way he kind of came out. And I think I texted you that I thought it was a head injury almost immediately, just based on, like you mentioned, he dove into a pile and came up, you know, kind of shaking his head and seemed a little shaken up. But yeah, he was ruled out pretty quickly with an ankle injury. So that's something that I think he was on the injury report this week with an ankle injury, but he was a full participant in practice all week. He didn't carry an injury designation into the game. So it is kind of worrisome that this is now the second time this is something that's flared up. And the fact that it now has cost him time, right? He didn't miss practice time, and now that he's missed time in a game, yeah, that certainly is worrisome that this might be something that either lingers moving forward and he's not 100%, or he has to take a week off to get back to being fully healthy.
Mitch Trubisky came in, was 11 of 17, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Like I said, in a very odd game. This game was in delay for a long time. I know Marquise Brown was in and out of the lineup. I think that ultimately he ended up being ruled out with a heel injury. Just a very odd game. With the Steelers, I mean, they fire Matt Canada. They have their best offensive game of the season last week. Still don't score points. They come into this game, they averaged 5.5 yards per play, which is actually not bad. I mean, the Cardinals defense is a defense you should be doing that and probably more against, but that's not bad. But then they were stuffed on fourth and goal at the one, the first play that Mitch Trubisky actually had. They missed a field goal. Like the offensive, like play results, play by play results, Curtis, have been better for this team over the last couple of weeks, but it hasn't really made its way to the scoreboard. And I think that's a concern, especially if we're going to miss Kenny Pickett here for a little bit.
Yeah, it's such a weird team this year to watch, because the defense was winning them games and finally they outgain a team today and they end up on the losing end of it. So it's just a weird day in variance wise. But yeah, that was that drive had Najee Harris take 3 carries from the 4-yard line and didn't get it in. So maybe for us Jaylen Warren fans, maybe he'll get some goal line work coming forward. Maybe we can take that as a positive. But they're on a short week, so I'm assuming Pickett it won't be playing, and they play the Patriots, so I don't think they're gonna have to score a whole bunch of points next week to win. So they one of those just get it done weeks and try to figure it out with your extra 3 days rest after that.
I was going to mention they play on Thursday, which definitely hurts Pickett's cause, but I mean the Patriots, man, that we're not going to talk about that game. We will mention reminder in a second. They have to try something. Like, yeah. Just try something, Patriots. Be interesting. Or we could just throw it out there. Ramondre left that game, the Patriots game, with an ankle injury. It was one of those hip drop tackles, got his ankle caught underneath the defender. Do we have any news on that, Tucker?
I haven't seen any updates yet. And we know the Patriots are notoriously a little bit stingy when it comes to that information. Bill Belichick will probably list him as limited for practice every day this week, and then he'll be questionable heading into the weekend. But I did read one report that said he's going to an MRI or the x-rays came back negative. So it's definitely not broken. It's probably of a sprained ankle, so that he has been tested. But if you're hoping to read anything into the Patriots injury reports this week, I must tell you, it's a futile endeavor. You're not going to learn anything.
You can't wait for my weekly Slack message out Friday night of you complaining about whatever the Patriots injury report looks like, because it's an absolute mess. Every single week, it's an absolute mess. Yeah, we flashed it up here on the screen. This is a great stat that we saw. Producer Matt sent this to us. The Patriots are the first team ever to allow 10 or fewer points in three straight games and lose them all. So with that in mind, how excited even, Curtis, can you get about Zeke? I mean, I have to assume that Zeke Elliott's going to be the running back one. I can't imagine Stevenson is playing this week on a short week. How excited can you get about Zeke in fantasy, even if he's going to be the clear running back one?
You see me every Wednesday. I've got a big Ezekiel Elliott jersey right in the office. So I'm as excited as can be to fire him up. He's looked pretty good this year. But yeah, again, you need touchdowns to win in fantasy football, and the Patriots don't score touchdowns. So realistically, he's going to get a couple catches, some carries. Is he a fringe kind of RB2 flex play? Sure. But again, there's nothing crazy that's going to happen with him right now because they're playing a good defense too. So he's not going to put up 25 points. He's going to get some touches. Volume is good, but that's all it is at this time.
What I will say is in the comeback game, James Conner did shred the Steelers' run defense. So, hey, maybe there is a, you know, maybe there's something there for him. I mean, I guess we do have to mention this. The Chargers scored 6 points today. It's just Eckler had 14 carries for 18 yards. In this game, Keenan Allen had 5 catches for 58 yards. Quentin Johnson, 5 for 52. These two teams, I'm fine never talking about the Patriots and Chargers again. That is kind of where I am with this season. Our last game here with this kind of AFC playoff picture is the Rams and the Browns. That has now officially gone final. The Rams were able to win 36-19. Not 36-219, 36-219. There we go. I got that out right. We did have an injury in this game. We had a couple injuries in this game, but Puka Nacua was able to come back. Amari Cooper, however, wasn't able to come back. It looks like he was getting tested for a concussion. I've also seen it called a, you know, head injury. You know, it is what it is. What are we looking at here, Tucker?
Yeah, you mentioned it's weird because you have to call it a head injury, I think, until they're in concussion protocol, and then you suffer a concussion because of the head injury you had. But you mentioned it's going to just be a weird situation with him where if he's in concussion protocol, he's in there until he comes out. And the fact that he didn't come back in the game probably means that he is headed toward concussion protocol, and he'll basically have to fight through that this week in order to be back next week and be back on the field with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and Joe Flacco, I think that's the biggest takeaway here from the Browns. They did lose this game. They've now lost 2 in a row. This offense was not terrible with Joe Flacco, and that was even without Amari Cooper for most of this game. Elijah Moore ended up with, I don't know how many targets he ended up with by the end. At one point, he had 11 targets. The wonderful Jets reunion that we saw there with Elijah Moore. I don't know. Like, I feel better about, even though this was a loss, and even though they kind of, you know, they got blown out a little bit here by the Rams by the end of it. This was a close game for most of it, and the offense was somewhat competent, and that makes me feel a lot better about the Browns moving forward than I did, I think, coming into this week. What do you think, Curtis?
Yeah, that's a good question. A little concerning on the defensive side that they gave up so many points to Matt Stafford, who has struggled under pressure all year. We've seen him struggle against the 49ers and Cowboys this year, and the Browns didn't get a single sack. So that just kind of lets me know that Myles Garrett is playing, but he's not playing healthy. And that has been the key to this team, is the pressure that team has created all year. So if they can't create that pressure, it might not matter how good the offense is, because their defense takes a major downgrade after that, and that's what's been winning this team the games. And so we'll see. They did struggle on the ground today too. I think Jerome Ford averaged about a yard a carry, and the only guy that could get anything going was Pierre Strong. So we'll see how they manage that rotation moving forward. But yeah, maybe Amari Cooper is just sad that Elijah Moore has this bond with Joe Flacco, and in every Flacco start, he just looks for Elijah Moore. So it's one of those weird things. He didn't even look for Njoku that often today, and he's kind of had a tight end history in the past. So that Elijah Moore, Joe Flacco connection, if he's available in your league, you got to go get him, because he had 12 targets when I last ended watching the stats. So we'll see.
Yeah, it was it ended up being 12 targets for him at the end. Yeah, I mean, that's easy money right there. On the Rams side of this, I mean, the Rams came out with the win. We should definitely talk about them. They're now up to 6-6. They are, as it stands right now, I believe they're the number 7 seed. They're tied with the Vikings and Seahawks at 6-6. The Packers are 5-6, and they're playing on Sunday night after, you know, we're done recording here. And so, yeah, I mean, this Rams team is right in the thick of it. The offense is playing well. Kyren Williams is out of his mind right now. And they're even doing it without Cooper Kupp doing a ton. Cooper Kupp caught a late touchdown, but he hasn't been doing a ton. I mean, this Rams team, I thought going into the season, Tucker, I thought this was going to be one of the worst teams in the league. And this is definitely my biggest miss. The Rams have been my biggest miss of the year. And this team looks for real. And this team looks like they can make a real push for the playoffs.
Yeah, and it sounds crazy because Sean McVay is a guy who's won a Super Bowl, he's won Coach of the Year in the past. Like, this might be his best work coaching this team, a team that coming into the season, everyone looked at last year and said, well, they're just going to repeat that, right? They're going to win 4 games. They may win 5, and that'll be it. They're really just trying to run it out with these older guys and try to rebuild for the future. But the fact that they're now in a situation where they're 6-6, they're fighting for a playoff spot, they're in a situation with Matthew Stafford and that offense where they are capable of hanging in against some really good teams, it's hard to not be impressed with them compared to where their regular season or their preseason expectations were. I don't know if there's a team right now in the NFL that you can point to and say they've exceeded what we expected from based on, you know, what we thought in the preseason, outside of maybe Atlanta. And even that, I don't think anyone's necessarily excited about the way Atlanta wins, but the way Los Angeles, no one expected them to be in this situation. And the fact that they are, I think, is a huge shout out to Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford for coming back after what was a lost season last year.
Yeah, I think that what he's done this year, what they've been able to do with that team, that, I mean, outside of their stars, looked kind of direct of talent. What they've been able to do has been extremely impressive. They do get the Ravens this week. They have to travel to Baltimore. They still have to travel to San Francisco in week 18, but I mean, we'll see where San Francisco is kind of in the playoff race in week 18. But other than that, Commanders, Saints, Giants, they've got 3 winnable games there. Yeah, this team could definitely make a push. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the other playoff situation, and that is the NFC South. You brought up the Falcons. The Falcons beat the Jets. Curtis, I did not watch any of this game except what showed up on Red Zone, and I don't think any jury in the land would convict me of that. This seemed like it was did you watch any of this game? This seemed, Curtis, like the worst game you could ever possibly watch.
No, I think you see 5 TVs behind me, and not a single time was that game on one of these TVs. It was I think there was supposed to be weather involved in the game, and I wasn't watching no matter what. So, and yeah, they win again, and what do we say? The Saints, they spotted the Lions 21 points in the first 7 minutes of the game, and they made a heck of a game of it, but they're digging themselves a big hole, and the Bucks struggled with the Panthers. It's just let's get one of these teams into the playoffs, and let's get them out as soon as we can, and let's not talk about this division anymore. But yeah, the Falcons definitely have the clear edge right now.
Yeah, the Falcons 6-6 after this game. Tucker, did you watch any of this game? Are we just going to like skirt past it? Because at this point in the season, I have to have some mental health. And I just couldn't watch this game. I did see Tim Boyle was benched for Trevor Siemian. You know, that happened. I mean, did you watch any of it, Tucker?
I think I only cared about it being a low scoring game, and it ended up being so. I think if there wasn't a 6-0 game on the schedule, it might have been the most forgettable game of the week. But somehow, and maybe most impressively, Bill Belichick and Brandon Staley were able to top that.
6. That's 6-0, man. Right. Yeah, that's wild. I do, Curtis, you brought up the Saints game. That is a game that was interesting and a game I watched quite a bit of. You mentioned that the Lions, they jumped out to this quick 21-0 lead, and then the Saints lost Derek Carr to another shoulder injury, a back injury, a concussion. They listed a bunch of stuff. I believe it's the same injury, Tucker, you correct me if I'm wrong, that he suffered the AC joint injury in earlier in the year. And so we'll have to see what happens with Derek Carr. But even though they, you know, the Saints were down big, the Lions just let them come back into this game and really make it a game late. And I think that, you know, the Saints are in the middle of this wild NFC South. The Bucs ended up hanging on to win against the Panthers. The Saints and Bucs are 5-7. The Falcons are 6-6. That's going to be wild the rest of the way. I think from this perspective, the Lions, their defense continuing to allow these points and these teams to score, that, Curtis, seems to me like the bigger concern kind of coming out of this game.
You are not getting past the 49ers, Eagles, and Cowboys with that defense, because Jared Goff cannot consistently put up that many points, especially against these defenses. It's a concern, and the fact that they came back again today and put up, move the ball at will, and actually scored in the red zone, that this is Derek Carr when he was on the field. They got touchdowns. So, yeah, it's definitely a concern. It's the big three in the NFC right now. The Lions are kind of in their own tier of purgatory. They're better than anyone below them, but they're not with the top three teams at all.
I guess we should mention the Derek Carr injury. Do we have any news has come out about that yet, Tucker? Or are we just we stuck in kind of the same place we were with him a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same kind of injury. We're kind of stuck where he's at. And I mean, his play hasn't been inspiring. I don't know if the Saints are necessarily eager to get him back on the field. Maybe they take it a little bit more cautiously and try something different moving forward for a week or two and, you know, try to get him back fully healthy. But as of right now, it's just a big question mark.
And then one more injury we definitely need to hit on for this week, and that is Brian Robinson, who left the bloodbath that was the Dolphins and Commanders game. Another game we don't need to talk about. I did watch a good amount of that game. But by the way, the Commanders, it's so perfect when a situation arises in which a team that cannot stop big plays plays against Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill does exactly what you expect to them. It's just beauty. It's just poetry in motion. It was really, that game went exactly the way that everybody would assume it would go. But like I said, Brian Robinson left that game with a hamstring injury. Tucker, I haven't seen a ton of news on this injury or kind of what we're looking at. And we're now a couple hours removed from the end of this game.
Yeah, I haven't seen any updates on Brian Robinson at all. That was something that just kind of popped up during the game. I saw it on Twitter and we haven't really seen anything since. It was just, he was out. Antonio Gibson got some extra carries. I think he ended up having 10 carries for 34 or 35 yards. But yeah, for the most part, there hasn't been an update on his condition so far.
The reason we're talking about Brian Robinson at all is from the fantasy football perspective, Curtis. Tucker brought up Antonio Gibson. He had 10 for 35. Chris Rodriguez, though, I know is somebody you've talked about before, 7 for 29 in this game. Where are you kind of leaning here with the waiver wire coming out of this game in this injury?
I guess, Mike, that is Ron Rivera showing up after the bye, or do they get rid of him by then? Ron Rivera, does not. Question. He loves to have multiple running backs and even likes three running backs. So it makes everyone kind of, I would love to use Antonio Gibson in this situation, but he will find a way to put Chris Rodriguez on the field. And Gibson does catch the ball well, but they do have a tough schedule coming up. I know they got the Jets, the 49ers, that they're not going to score a lot of points, but I do like Gibson because they are usually trailing and he makes some really good catches. He's caught another deep ball down the field today, and that's multiple passes he's caught this year, over 20 air yards. So he's the guy that I would be targeting, but he's not going to get the full workload on the ground, even though he probably should if Robinson misses time. But they have a bye that gives him an extra week to prepare. So we'll see how that plays out. But if Ron Rivera is there, he loves to fit in as many running backs as possible. And I know when someone else was out, Jonathan Williams or someone snuck in some carries earlier in this year, he just does not want to give one running back too many touches. It's just a thing of his.
And I'm glad you mentioned we do randomly have two teams on bye next week, which I don't. The way they did the byes this week or this year are wild. So next week we still have the Cardinals and Commanders are on bye next week in week 14. Why? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not sure why they did it that way. There were a couple Dolphins injuries in that game. There were some defensive injuries. One of them did not look good at all. Teron Armstead left that game, I believe, with an ankle injury. Is that right, Tucker? Did you see that? He left with an ankle injury. So there was at least a little bit of concern coming out of this game with the Dolphins from the injury perspective.
Yeah, Terrell Martin is an interesting one because he got hurt last week, and after the game, Mike McDaniel told reporters he was considered week to week. He wasn't going to play this week at all. And then Terrell Armstead came out and said, hold on, I am playing. I'm not missing a game. I'll definitely be back. And he was back. He did play. And then he exited pretty quickly again. So this is a situation where he's a guy who likes to play. He prides himself on not missing time, although he struggled to stay healthy this season. He might be down this week just because this is something that's continued to linger and continue to pile up. But considering what they thought he was going to do this week and what he ended up doing, I think at this point, it's up to Terron Armstead whether he's going to play or not.
Yeah, and as we mentioned with Derrick Henry, they have an extra day because they're playing on Monday night. One of two games on Monday night next week. Again, the scheduling this year, especially I've been looking at as we get into the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's, I'm against the way that things have been scheduled. Let me come out strong against the NFL schedule this year. We do have one question here in the chat I wanted to get to. What are the chances Travis Kelce gets 11 points in non-PPR tonight? I'm feeling great about your chances. This is a wonderful matchup for a tight end. And so we'll feel good about that. Curtis, your thoughts on that? And then anybody else in the waiver wire, anybody we missed?
Yeah, Travis Kelce needs a touchdown and a couple of catches. I'm sure he's going to get there. Probably going to move the ball early before they rely on their defense to shut the Packers down. And maybe we'll see. There's a couple of teams coming off bye. We'll see where the Giants are health-wise and maybe Jalen Hyatt. I know someone mentioned in the chat, but we'll see if Darren Waller comes back. Some of us are hoping Darren Waller comes back, but he's an aging player. Really, yeah. What are they playing for at this point as well? So you never know. It's hard to keep players off the field. They are competitors. Players don't tank, organizations tank. So if there's a reason to go out there, they'll get out there. But yeah, we'll see what happens with a couple of these other injuries and where we land with that to see the waiver wire kind of pickups for this week. But Tajay Spears in home leagues is probably your number one pickup.
Yeah, I mean, that's no brainer. If Tajay Spears is available, we'll see what happens. I mean, Derrick Henry could very easily clear the concussion protocol this week, but I mean, you gotta take a shot at this point in the year. I did one more injury question just because we brought up the Giants coming out of this bye. I really haven't heard a ton of updates on Tyrod Taylor and it's coming back. Tucker, have you heard many updates on Tyrod Taylor? Like, is that something we're gonna see? Curtis, have y'all heard anything on him?
I haven't heard any update. No, I think, I don't know. Are Giants fans smitten with Tommy DeVito to let him keep going? I think Brian Daboll did say last week that they're going to wait and see. Maybe after the bye week, he will be back because he's eligible to come off the IR this week. So it certainly is an option. If he's healthy, he could be out there for the Giants.
It's my assumption that they aren't rushing Tyrod back is kind of what I get out of all the discussions, but we'll see.
Yeah, so we'll be looking forward to that next week, seeing what the Giants look like coming out. And I'm glad you mentioned Jalen Hyatt because, you know, it was before the bye week and he didn't get a lot of play, but he kind of had a mini breakout there. And obviously old hometown Tommy DeVito getting his sandwiches when he gets home. He's been able to move that offense a little bit. So it'll be interesting to watch
the future of the organization. This is when you start your rookies and you try to feed them passes. It's kind of what's the point of getting Sterling Shepard involved or Darius Slayton involved? You got to see what you have with this kid. So I think you start designing a few more touches around getting him involved. And will they put up a ton of points? Probably not. But right now, some rosters, you just need a healthy body that's going to get five receptions. And he might get that. And he's got some big play potential.
Absolutely. We have we have some barn burners next week coming into week 14. We've got another matchup between the Seahawks and the 49ers. I mean, I guess we'll see what that is. We've got Bills and Chiefs, and then on Sunday night we have Eagles and Cowboys. So are y'all going to be just, will y'all talk to each other during the show next week? Like, how are we handling another Eagles Cowboys matchup? At least we don't have to talk about that game together. I suppose that's the way forward, right?
No comment.
Yeah, luckily that doesn't.
this game doesn't matter. It's the one in January that counts the most. This is just, it is what it is.
I want y'all fighting. Like, I just want y'all yelling at each other.
I think it's, I don't know if there's going to be yelling, but I am excited to see how the Eagles bounce back from what they did today. I think there is a world where getting humbled a little bit can help a team like the Eagles who were winning despite kind of all the flaws that were happening. You weren't seeing them getting fixed. So getting blown out today at home, I think what we are going to see, you know, next Sunday night between the Eagles and Cowboys, a team that looks unbelievable at home against a team that, you know, keeps winning despite having issues and finally got humbled. I think it's going to be an unbelievable game. I think for the third or fourth straight week, we might have a shot at having a game that we'll consider game of the year by the time it's over.
I want to throw this out there. The Eagles are a very astute organization. Do they play for the 2 seed at some point in time? I know the bye is huge, but I would rather play the Detroit Lions in the second round and not have to go through, because the 1 seed will play the Cowboys in the second round of the playoffs.
I was thinking about that because I thought it was interesting, you know, as we talk about just how top heavy the NFC is the bye really worth all that much if you're going to play the Rams or a team like that? And same thing, you know, if you're the Cowboys and you finish the 4 seed,
but then yeah, you get
to go to Atlanta that week. Like, you're going to be 7.5 or 8.5 point favorites on the road in wild card weekend. Like, it almost sets up to where maybe, you know, health wise that bye certainly helps in the wild card weekend, but competitively, I don't know if it's that big of an advantage as it might be, you know, in other seasons.
The fact that a Cowboys fan is assuming they're going to beat the under 500 Baker Mayfields that end up winning the NFC South, that's the headline right there, that the Cowboys are so confident in that. We'll see. You know, we'll see when we get there. We'll be back to talk about all of this stuff next week, coming out of what will hopefully be another fun week of action. Remember, head over to sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can find all our content over there. You can find the waiver wire column from Curtis, which you can access in our fantasy package. You can get 15% off that package or any package over at sharpfootballanalysis.com using the promo code ANGLES. All of the injury stuff, Tucker writes that up every week. Go and check that out. I'll have my power rankings out on Tuesday, so you can come and tell me how big of an idiot I am for whoever ends up at second. I'm sure Curtis sends me a message every week about how dumb I am about something. So yeah, just join the crowd and tell me how stupid I am. I will probably agree with you. But that's it for us this week. We'll be back to talk to you next week.